start today's conversation with Ernie Bray, founder and chairman and CEO of ACD, Auto Claims Direct. And we'll spend at least half an hour or a bit more with Ernie talking about his journey. And there's some very particular strategic things that Ernie has done that I would like you to be aware of. You may have already read his entrepreneur journeys on story on the blog, but today we have a chance to talk to him, and then you can also in the Q&A ask him more questions. Well, Ernie, welcome. We're delighted to have you here.
Well, glad to be on.
All right, so introduce our audience to ACD. What do you do? Please tell us what is the ACD business that you've built?
Okay, what ACD does is we're a technology and services company for the auto claims industry, the property and casualty industry. So what that means is when you get in an accident, if you have car insurance, insurance companies have to process your claim. So what we've done is created a technology platform that integrates all the different pieces along the way and along the process to streamline that for the insurance companies and their customers. So, mm-hmm. If you get in an accident, your car has to be repaired. So it has to go to a body shop. Somebody has to assess the damages. Somebody has to investigate the damages. And then we've created a unified platform that connects everything.
Very interesting. So you have bootstrapped this company that you started in 2004, and it's at over $15 million in revenue at this mm-hmm. point. So I want to explore a few pieces of that process in detail. First,
you
have bootstrapped, and one of the key strategies in your bootstrapping has been your service provider network. Please tell us how that mm-hmm. works.
So what happens is when there is an accident, an insurance company needs somebody to go out there and inspect the vehicle, or they yes. need to have, somebody. We have developed basically an on-demand nationwide network of experts who, when these claims come in, are able to be dispatched out and assigned to go out and inspect the vehicles for, various insurance companies throughout the country. And they then send their reports in through digital means, through digital photos, their estimate information, and it's all mm-hmm. sent back to our core platform. And the network really serves as an extension for these insurance claims offices. They are able to harness the power of this whole network we have, which is how this works.
And also, in the bootstrapping strategy, you followed a very powerful team strategy. Talk to us about your team strategy.
Well, when I started the company out, frankly, I didn't have the money or the means. By bootstrapping, we started basically in the spare bedroom of one of my my house, and we didn't have an office. We had to have a virtual environment. And so what I did was, as I brought employees on, I created a virtual team. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to harness the best people I could find and not be limited to just having them sitting in an office, for the sake of sitting in an office. So I was able to find some real good industry people throughout the country. So I would, have people working from their homes in a virtual environment. But, 14 years ago, there were some of the tools were coming into play, but we've harnessed technology to create kind of a virtual office, and it's really exciting. I'll tell you a little bit more about that.
How many people do you have on your payroll or as contractors in this virtual team mode?
In the virtual team mode, we have, about 30 people right now. We have about 10 or 12 people. We're expanding in our core home office. We actually now have a core home office in San Diego, mm-hmm. but we still have a distributed team. That's really the core of our business.
You're doing over $15 million in revenue with just about 50 people?
That's correct.
Awesome. So, if I may, I would like to dig a bit deeper into the virtual team strategy and I'll tell you why I'm so interested in this. Okay. In our community, as you know, we are very big proponents of bootstrapping, so we are huge fans of your bootstrapping success story.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we encourage our community to do is to do bootstrapping with a paycheck, for instance. If people are, you know, starting side businesses, start validating a business while you still hold on to a job and the paycheck is paying the bills and so forth, we have no problems with this strategy, and we know that we have lots of case studies of people succeeding with this strategy. And in that scenario, especially in general in building small businesses today, this kind of virtual team strategy is incredibly effective. Mm-hmm. And you can hire from all over the world. We are running basically a virtual company as well in 1 million by 1 million, and our team is all over the world. So we're very big believers in this particular mode of scaling companies, building companies. So so let's kind of brainstorm a little bit about what is it that you are doing that our community can learn from. So what functions on your team are virtual and you said you already have a physical office where there are about 10 mm-hmm. people. What functions do you choose to put in the physical office?
Okay, so over time, as things grew, we had to bring in accounting. We brought our accounting functions in and some of the core management team, but mm-hmm. we actually manage much of our customer service and our quality compliance teams all virtual. So we've mm-hmm. had to integrate a full, you know, virtual phone system in the company that enables us to take customer service calls all throughout the country. We have people handling quality assurance throughout the country. So from our core headquarters, we have, you know, some limited staff, but it's really, really the technology. We use programs such as Slack, we use Skype, we use Grasshopper for our phone system. We integrated all these different technologies to create our own way we do business, and it's worked very, very well, you know, for all these years.
And let's talk about recruitment. What is different about recruiting a virtual team, and how do you go about it?
Well, in our industry, and I would imagine for other people, other entrepreneurs out there, in your industry, your specific industry, you want to find the best people you can, and we recruit from the industry. And what we're seeing in our industry right now is there is becoming a situation where there are people leaving insurance companies, retiring, or maybe even just looking to leave working for a carrier, but then they still want to work in the industry. So we're able to recruit people who have a lot of experience that have been in the industry for years. And the beautiful thing about it is they have all this experience, but they're distributed around the country. So we recruit, and we can find great people who have tons of experience and bring them on virtually, and we just elevate our skill sets. We elevate the experience levels of our staff really exponentially, because if you can get great people throughout the country, bring them into the fold and have them in our virtual office, as I would say, it really enhances our company. And the thing is, by recruiting within the industry, people hear about what we're doing, and we get tons of resumes all the time. People excited to join what we're doing, and it's exciting.
So when you put out a job posting out there, let's mm-hmm. say you put out a job posting on a job board or wherever, mm-hmm. you specify that it's a virtual position, that the person you're looking for will be working from home?
Yes. If it's a person in that position, yes, we do. So we only opened a core headquarters about 4 years ago, very limited, mm-hmm. just myself and a few people in the office, a few admin people, and we've always had the intention just to keep a small little headquarters, mainly to meet clients and to conduct business. But it's all been the virtual.
And so the people who are submitting their candidacy in your company are self-selecting mm-hmm. themselves that they want to work in a virtual office mode, they want to work from home and all that, yes?
Yes, that's true, exactly. And I think in our industry and in many industries, with the technology that's out there for entrepreneurs starting businesses, realizing that you can do this, you can do it virtually now because the technology is there, I think the toughest thing we'll talk about, maybe if you want to talk about this, the toughest thing is being able to manage a distributed work team.
We'll get to
that's
that. Let's
the challenge.
Finish the recruitment. Hold on. Let's finish the recruitment discussion.
Oh, sure.
I want to ask you a bit more granular questions on the mm-hmm. recruitment. Are there particular job boards or recruitment services, online recruitment services, that specialize in recruiting people who want to work from home? Do you have any tips to offer on that?
We have. We do post to some of the job sites. We have posted to some of the major job sites, and then when we mm-hmm. post the job, we advise, you know, that it is a work from home position, that they have the ability to, you know, we look for self-starters. But yes, we do. We use some of the major job boards to recruit. That in combination with, I think another way you can leverage is through LinkedIn and Glassdoor. Those two sites have been fantastic because we have posted job postings there. We also have people that come to those sites. They come there and they find out what we're doing, and then they apply from those sites themselves.
So it doesn't sound like there are any special job boards that you're using for that specialize in virtual workers.
No, not any special job boards per se. It's mainly using some of the traditional methods. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I would say also, I'll add one thing. LinkedIn, though, we get a lot of outreach through LinkedIn. That's been a very, very great platform where people are reaching out to us through there.
Yeah. Okay. And how do you manage people? So in this virtual mode, talk to us about some of your core management strategies that helped you keep all this distributed workforce on the same page, aligned, and everything.
Well, managing a team, I believe, you know, as a leader, you have to be able to inspire your team, be enthusiastic, and you have to have this team have the team atmosphere, yet they're all distributed. How do you do that? I mean, at our core headquarters, we have little office get-togethers. We have luncheons with, you know, the small 8 to 10 people. But what you have to do is you have to find a way to bring in that office feel, but virtually. One of the things I like to do is I like to do videos. I do a lot of videos. I will get on, let's say, like we're talking here, I will do videos directed to the team members, to the outside virtual team, you know, motivating them, talking about some of the things going on with the company. I have very, very open communication style, so they can reach out to me. They're communicating with me as the CEO of the company. And I think if you use the tools, the combinations of the technologies, like I said, Slack has been huge. It's been great for us. That and really having within Slack, we have groups within Slack. So there's the team headquarters. There's all these different groups. So everybody gets involved in the groups. And when somebody has a birthday, they all, you know, congregate and wish each other, you know, happy birthday, and they post pictures. So to manage this team, you have to find a way to get them excited about the whole mission. And it's funny when you see all these people virtually talking to them, you know, each other all day long, and then when we bring them out to our headquarters, it's like they've already worked together all the time. And I think that's really important to keep that camaraderie up.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Our virtual team has been working together for, you know, almost 8 years, and many of the members have been around for that long. So some of them shorter than that, but it's a very well kind of integrated and gelled team that knows one another extremely well because of this very lengthy.
You're probably talking all day, right? You talk to each other all the time, I bet. So you keep that communication going. That's the thing, it's fun.
And frankly, really the essentials are email, Skype, and phone.
Yeah.
Everything else
really,
is kind of incidental, but I think those three are the ones that drive that. And Google Docs, actually. I would say Google Collaboration Tools is a very big one because if you're working on documents and stuff or you know, spreadsheets or whatever, if you're working on a project that requires one of those document editing systems, collaborative document editing is a very very important one in our workflow.
Definitely. That's great.
So you already mentioned about cloud services, Slack. Is there anything else? We have already talked about Skype and Google Docs. Is there any other cloud service that you use in your organization to keep things moving?
Well, I use Dropbox a lot. We use Dropbox among some of our team members.
That's a key.
That's been another one. That's another key one. I mean, our company and our cloud-based technology, we use Amazon Web Services a lot for our IT and tech department. But before really for the actual management of the company, a lot of Dropbox, like we said, Slack, Skype, you know, email, those are the real core programs when it comes to it.
And is there anything particular in your experience about motivating people in a virtual team environment as opposed to a physical environment?
See, that the biggest thing I think as a leader, you have to be able to get people excited. And when you're in person with somebody, you can affect and bring that energy. You come in the office, you rally everybody around, you tell them about what we have going on. But you have to do that virtually. And one thing that I make a point of doing is I call and check in personally with team members all the time. Because, you know, when you grow and you get big to a certain level, even at, you know, 40 to 50 people in a company, a lot of things happen. You're busy all day. But when you take that time out of your day to really call people and spend individual, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, to talk to them, and they talk to you personally, and then you're talking to the group, like in videos, like I mentioned, you can transfer some of that energy to your team members. And I think that's important. It's important not to let the virtual team feel too remote. I mean, if there's a risk at times, if you're not communicating all the time, where they can feel isolated, and you don't want to have isolation. You want to have everybody feel connected, and that's really, I think, believe comes from the leadership. You have to be an energized person. That's what I feel like I like to do with my team, and that's what they know me for. They know I'm high energy, I talk fast, I'm excited. But I believe that when you do that, that can help inspire everybody.
Yeah, and also setting the strategy very clearly of what is happening in the company, what is the game plan, what is the path forward, and what is each person's role in that, in executing on that strategy. That's a very, very key piece of keeping everybody aligned and motivated.
That's right. Correct.
So, are you planning to expand your virtual team significantly, Ernie?
Actually, yes, we are. As we grow, we're actually right now in a really pretty big growth phase, and we're ramping up quickly. And what we found out is, you know, like I said earlier, talent within our industry is out there, and we are going to be ramping up in the first quarter of 2017 here with some more virtual team members. The growth that we have signed, new contracts that we've just signed, has us, you know, in that growth mode. So we're actively right now, even during the Christmas holiday season, we're actively interviewing and, you know, planning for that growth as we speak.
So. You know, we have another very exciting case study in the virtual organization space from Ireland. The two founders met virtually, one in Ireland and the other was based in Uruguay. And they are at about 150 people right now, headquartered in Ireland. They have a little bit of a Dublin office, but they have scaled to over 150 people, all virtual almost, except for the small Ireland team. And it's, you know, so what I'm seeing actually is that there are companies that are scaling to sizable workforces with virtual teams. And the message that I think Ernie and I both would convey to those of you who are listening and considering, contemplating the strategy of building your organization in a virtual mode is that there are, you know, this is the flexibility of being able to hire from all over the place is very helpful. And, you know, I am based at the heart of Silicon Valley, and the thing that's one of the drivers for me is I don't want to fight the talent war of Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley is in a complete talent war. The prices are incredibly high, the egos are incredibly high, and the competition for talent is incredibly high. So the fact that we are willing to work with people virtually and from anywhere in the world gives us tremendous flexibility to pull talent and to engage with talent and to work with talent from anywhere in the world. So we have people in Malaysia, in Philippines, in India, in all over the US. So it's been a exactly the same experience as Ernie, is that there are talented people, very skilled people in different parts of the world, and the flexibility this virtual team strategy offers you is tremendous, and it's worth considering for you know, a variety of situations and scenarios. The other point I would make is that if you are willing to do offshore, now offshore has some other challenges, time zone being one of them, you also get the benefit of cost structures. So we have, you know, parts of our operation, parts of our, you know, functional areas that we can get done in at very, very inexpensive price points because we are willing to work with the Philippines and Malaysia and so on and so forth. And that's another huge advantage of going virtual. So what do you think, Ernie, is going to change as you go from, let's say, 50 people to 150 people in the next few years?
Mm-hmm. What do I think is going to change? Well, I think the biggest thing that as we grow, the biggest challenges is really, as you scale in this industry, is we're in an industry right now. I think the biggest challenge for our industry in general is that right now they are experiencing what I call a brain drain. And a lot of people are retiring from insurance companies. When I began mm-hmm. in the industry, a lot of people were very paper-centric. We were trained as real generalists on the whole insurance side. There's a lot of complexities mm-hmm. involved. And what's happening now is there this push towards specialization at insurance companies. So what they've done is they're hiring, you know, young people out of college. They're specialized in certain aspects of claims and insurance, but they don't have the broad depth of knowledge that a lot of the experienced veterans have. So what's happening, what I see is going on, is that the insurance companies, in an effort to streamline operations, there's a trend toward automation, artificial intelligence, ways to use mm-hmm. cognitive computing, but they're going to want to outsource more of the operations to companies like us. So we're going to be, mm-hmm. I believe, see more scaling up. So we're going to be able to bring some of the people who may have retired early, people who are experienced, into our team. So virtual expansion is on the horizon even more.
So talk a little bit about, you know, your clientele, and obviously you have been able to bootstrap very effectively. Talk a little bit about how you acquire customers and what kind of average deal sizes do you see, and what are the key levers for growth in your business?
Okay, so our typical client is an insurance company, obviously, in the auto insurance sector. But what we are, our typical deal would be in the range of $250,000 a year to $1 million contract. Mm-hmm. Some can be smaller, but those are our real marketing benefit to a company is the fact that when they utilize our technology, we go in, we show them how the entire workflow can mm-hmm. streamline their operations, and that's really the selling mm-hmm. point. The selling point is when you have fragmentation in a business yeah. process, every time you have fragmentation, you are putting costs, there's costs in that business that, you know, people don't realize. Yep. So our whole focus is what can we do to remove touch points, remove fragmentation, and unify everything? And it's really very much of a challenge because some insurance companies are at different levels of their growth pattern and where they are on the technology, you know, pattern. Some of them are just sort of realizing that they need to institute modern technology. Some are already more open to that. So it really depends on what the carrier is, the size, where, you know, where they're located. But really it's about our pitch is really to go in and really optimize their whole operation.
Okay. And when you started bootstrapping this venture, going back to 2004, 2005 timeframe, what enabled you to, you know, get things off the ground inexpensively, and you know, how did you get your first customer? Can you throw some light on what was the very beginning of your journey?
Right, definitely. So when we started the company, when you start any company, you don't have a reputation. You have, you know, in our business, when it comes to the technology side, we're up against, you know, a couple billion-dollar companies, half a billion, you know, dollar companies. We also have some mid-sized companies we're up against when it comes to technology. Then on the service side, when it comes to the networks, there was a vast array of service providers, but nobody really meshed both together. So when we introduced our solution into the market, it was not really something that people were used to. So how did we do it? Well, here's what we did. We really focused on, basically had to make cold calls. We had to go out onto industry trade shows. We had to basically put in the hustle out there and go in there and make ourselves uncomfortable, because at first we had no experience in going there and trying to sell. I mean, selling is tough. It's tough business. And especially when you're starting out, you know, you're going to get some people turning you away, and that's just the way it is. But once we landed our first deal, and I always tell people this, that sometimes the first customers you get won't be your best customers. They're going to be people who are difficult to work with and nobody else wants. So we actually got acquired some of those companies, and that's where we had income coming in. We finally had income coming in, which is great. We were forced to really work hard and service these clients. But I think in a way, it made us realize that if we could work really, really well and service these tough clients, when we did prove ourselves to people and were able to deliver, it would make it easier. And that's really those first, I don't know, 6 to 8 months were really tough times. I mean, that's how we did it. We just had to go out there and make the calls.
Ernie, you have a question from the audience. Surag Ramachandran is asking, nice to know about virtual mode of working. Curious to know whether you meet once in a year or so in person.
Okay. Yes, we bring our team members in once to twice a year. There's been people at different schedules. We don't bring everybody in at one time usually, but over time what we've found is that people tend to – the virtual team bonds amongst each other. And it's so funny. You see people bonding from different parts of the country that they like, oh, hey, I'd like to come out to the headquarters with so-and-so and, you know, these other people. So we get groups of, you know, four or five people who have worked together in teams virtually. We get them out at one time. And then so we try to have everybody cross, you know, pollinate and meet each other at different times. But, yeah, about 1 to 2 times a year.
Okay.